Lamentations chapter 4, verses 17 to 22. Stark reality. Facing the truth with unvarnished gloss. Stark reality. Listen to what Jeremiah gives vent to here. He's speaking on behalf of the people of Jerusalem. He's speaking on behalf of Jerusalem itself. He's speaking on behalf of the temple. This is what he's saying. Look, verse 17. Moreover, our eyes failed, looking in vain for help. From our towers, we watched for a nation that could not save us. Men stalked us at every step, so we could not walk in our streets. The ways of Zion do mourn, yes. Our end was near. Our days were numbered, for our end had come. Our pursuers were swifter than eagles in the sky. They chased us over the mountains and lay in wait for us in the desert. The Lord's anointed, our very life breath, was caught in their traps. We thought that under his shadow we would live among the nations. Rejoice and be glad, O daughter of Edom, you who live in the land of Uz, but to you also the cup will be passed. You will be drunk and stripped naked, O daughter of Zion. Your punishment will end. He will not prolong your exile, but, O daughter of Edom, he will punish your sin and expose your wickedness. Lamentations 4:17-22. Well, the picture is clear. Here are the nations, Edom in particular, laughing their socks off as they see Judah being carted into captivity. I believe the book of Obadiah speaks about this. They say, yes, go on, do it. They rub their hands with glee. And Jeremiah says, your turn is coming. Your turn is coming. Your laughing will turn to crying. Verse 21 is ironical. Rejoice and be glad, O daughter of Edom, you who live in the land of Uz. But you're going to taste this cup. You're going to drink this cup too. It'll be put to your lips. You'll have to drink it. And whereas the daughter of Zion will come to an end of its punishment, 70 years, O daughter of Edom, your sin will be exposed, your wickedness revealed and punished. Oh, yes, there's hope for Judah. There is none, it seems, for Edom here. It's 1 Peter 4, verse 17. Judgment does begin at the house of God, but in wrath God remembers mercy for his people. But we must not trade on it. We mustn't just repeat catchphrases. Once saved, always saved. Eternal security and all that kind of stuff. It's the perseverance of the saints. It's the duty of children of God. The responsibility to obey the covenant, to keep the law. Let's get back to Judah here. Instead of keeping the covenant, the Mosaic covenant, the covenant of Sinai, instead of keeping the law of Moses, the law of God through Moses, not just the Ten Commandments, of course, the whole law. It's all one. Instead of doing that, they'd gone to the pagans. They brought idols into the temple. They brought worldliness into Judaism. And Isaiah 30 is very clear. Isaiah speaks to Judah. Don't do this. This is wrong. This is evil. This is sinful. But you'll find in Jeremiah 37, they were still doing it 100 years later, still looking to Egypt, Jeremiah 37. And what does God say here? In verse 17, our eyes failed. We kept looking for a nation that could not save us. They wouldn't come. They didn't come to help us. This is Egypt. See, they're looking to the world still. Instead of repenting and reforming and returning, they turn still to Egypt, a broken reed, a split cane. Here are the people who should be trusting God and obeying God and walking with God and living for God and under his covenant and law. But they're looking to Egypt. I see parallels today. But this discourse is stark reality. There is a reckoning day coming, and how grievous it is, moreover, our eyes failed, looking in vain for help. From our towers we watch for a nation that could not save us. That is what I believe is going to happen to us, looking to the world. We'll see it won't work. There may be an initial ingathering of numbers, if that's what people want. But for the spiritual harvest will be dire. It'd be meager at best, but I believe it will be dire. Men stalked us at every step. We couldn't walk the ways in our streets, the ways to Zion do mourn. It was fearful. They were too fast for us, our pursuers. I believe, my friend, we shall come to such things ourselves. Revelation 2 and 3, I keep repeating it, Christ will take away candlesticks. In the West, God can take away the gospel. There was 1,000 years called the Dark Ages, and we can come there again. Oh, let us learn before it is too late. Yes, God is merciful, and he will yet have mercy upon his people. His name will not be cast down forever. His cause will not sink, but we must trust and obey, and we must trust God, rely upon his power, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And we must keep to the biblical realities of this, the separateness, the independence of the church, the smallness, as it were, of the, our gatherings, that we might love each other and know each other and please God and honor God, and then reach out to the pagan, not to compromise the church for the pagan, but to see pagans soundly convicted and converted and then added to the church. That's what I see in the New Testament. Such as were converted were added to them, not the other way around. Oh, may God bless us then as we listen to this word. What a terrible thought, stark reality. But let us face it now, and may our eyes be opened, and may we return to the Lord our God before it is too late, for Christ's sake. Amen.